This is the Rod Langway Fan Club. Welcome, everybody, to the Rod Langway Fan Club podcast. I am your host, Jeff Roman. This is our first quarter report. I'm with a couple of co-hosts who are off to a bit of a slow start. Mr. Mark Chechnita.
Yeah, I'm getting over my second bout with COVID, so you guys are going to have to bear with my sexy post-COVID voice this show.
And John Snowden.
Yes, I was quite hobbled out of the gate, and the listeners might recall my foot injury in the preseason show, but I think I've recovered, and I'm hitting my stride right about now.
It's nice to see you guys again. I feel like a lot's changed.
Yeah, the first quarter of the NHL season is always interesting. There are always plenty of surprises, and as usual, we're going to be covering both the pleasant ones and the not-so-pleasant ones.
And then we will finish with a Ask the Commish mailbag.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about at this early point in the season, so I can't wait to get to that. But first, I mean, a lot has changed around here too, eh?
Yes. What is this mural of Rod? It takes up the entire wall.
Yes, this was commissioned by our friend Paul from Pooley. He's actually written into the show a couple times. It shows the journey of Rod, right, from his childhood, being born here in Taiwan, through his early childhood, and then his first days with the Montreal Canadiens in the NHL, all through his two Norris trophies. I mean, it's just a beautiful piece, isn't it?
Well, he's a beautiful man.
He is, the stash.
Jeez, how much did this thing cost?
Well, it's not really an issue anymore. We're in the money.
Yeah, guys, let's enjoy it. It's a new life for us. I know it's a bit of an adjustment, but we don't have to pinch our pennies quite
That's
as
right.
closely
That's
as we once
right.
did.
For yeah. those that don't know, we did come up lucky on the receipt lottery, and we're sitting pretty.
We're sitting very pretty. Did you guys check out the green room on your way in?
Oh, what snacks?
Yeah, it's
Yeah,
stocked.
Caviar? We've never had caviar in the green room.
No.
Life is good.
Well, boys, I think it's about time. Let's get started here. What are some of the big surprises so far this young season?
It pains me to say it, but as a Habs fan, I don't want to talk about these guys, but we have to. Let's start in Beantown. They're up to it again. The Bruins are back.
Yeah, we were doubting them going into the season, especially after the losses of Bergeron and Krejci, and they're almost doing better than last year.
Yeah, it's quite incredible, but I mean, this is a team. They're led from the back with the goaltending. I mean, that tandem of Swayman and Ullmark, I mean, they're lights out.
Yeah, you look around the league at some of the goalie poor teams, and they've got two guys who could be Vezina contenders so far. That part's not really shocking. What really surprises me is this Matthew Poitras kid. I'd never even heard of him coming into the year, and somehow, someway, he's locked down a regular role on the team as a 19-year-old. Reminds us of another young Bruin center from not so long ago.
Yeah, Patrice Bergeron, he could fill those shoes. You never know.
Well, I'm not saying he's going to do that, but it's still a very promising start to his career.
Absolutely, very encouraging for the team.
And speaking of centers, I know we were all skeptical about the Coyle and Zacha combo for 1 and 2. Those guys have held the fort.
Yeah, I think it helps when you've got elite wingers like David Pastrnak and newly minted captain Brad Marchand, who have been solid. They just play a good team game. Jim Montgomery's got that team humming, and I think he should be getting a lot more credit.
Absolutely. I mean, he's one of the best coaches in the league. I think he's shown that over the last 2 or 3 years.
As far as unpleasant surprises, guys, we have to talk about the Edmonton Oilers. They got off to a really bad start.
The worst start possible. I mean, fire their coach, goaltender on a big contract, send down to the AHL. McDavid wasn't looking right. But in recent weeks, they're starting to look more like the Edmonton Oilers of old.
They sure do.
Yeah, I mean, it's been like night and day watching this team in the first 15 games or so. It was shocking. Defensively, they were one of the worst teams I've seen play in a long time. It was absolutely abysmal. But over the last 7 or 8 games or so, the Edmonton Oilers are back. Connor McDavid is on absolute fire. He's at sort of averaging 3 points per game. So he's back. The team seems to be back. But they still have a bit of an uphill road to climb here to get back into a playoff spot.
I mean, Mark, do you think these guys can get back in there?
Yeah, no, I mean, I picked them to win the Cup, so obviously I think they can get back in there. But they are going to have to play over 600 hockey for the rest of the season. It is a soft division, though. There are some easy wins on their schedule. They just have to beat those teams, and I think they'll slide into one of those wild card spots. And who's going to want to play them in the first round if they do get in?
And Skinner seems to have found his game.
He does. I would be a little worried as an Edmonton Oilers fan, relying on him too much. He's been playing a lot of hockey. And, you know, he's not been the most consistent goaltender in his young career. So they may still be in the market for a goaltender moving forward.
You think we see Jack Campbell again in the NHL?
Oof, I don't know. It's risky. I mean, that tandem with two guys who you can't really rely on too much. I don't know. I would prefer if they were to get a bit more of a steady presence back there.
Yeah, I just think there's too much talent to write this team off too early.
Let's stay in Canada. Let's move a little bit further west. The Vancouver Canucks have been surprisingly really, really good to start the season.
They have, man. Tocchet has got those guys playing. I wouldn't have believed it.
No, I mean, I was very skeptical of this team going into the season, but I mean, offensively, they're on fire. And, you know, led by, it's hard to say who's actually leading the charge. JT Miller has been absolutely outstanding. Brock Besser is leading the league in goals. And Elias Pettersson, I mean, he is looking like a top-notch superstar elite talent. So lots of firepower, lots to worry about for opposing goalies.
Yeah, we never doubted the talent that they had up front, the potential anyway, but I really think it starts from the back end and being able to get the puck up the ice and create these chances. And I mean, Quinn Hughes is having a Norris Trophy-like season so far, just so dynamic.
He is. He's leading all defensemen in scoring as we record.
Yeah, I mean, there was a point where he was leading the league in scoring as a defenseman. I mean, obviously that wasn't going to hold up, but what about Filip Hronek?
Yeah, he's turned into an excellent partner for Hughes.
Yeah, I was a little bit, I don't know, I was skeptical when they made that move last year to give up a first round pick to get him, but
steep.
Yeah, it's paying off in spades so far.
Yes, he has been excellent, and they've bolstered their back end, too. Nikita Zadorov requested a trade out of Calgary after their abysmal start, and Vancouver has picked him up. He's a great, gritty defenseman to have back there.
Yeah, punishing hitter.
For sure.
Yeah, if they do hang on to this playoff position that they're in, he's going to be a really valuable piece in the spring.
I'm excited about their netminder. Thatcher Demko looks like he's back.
Yeah, with him, it's always been a question of staying healthy. If he is healthy, he's among the most talented goalies in the league. And now he's got some defensive support. He's really shining.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like this team will probably make the playoffs. I don't want to speak too soon, but I mean, we know what he can do in the playoffs. So that's a bit scary.
Let's shift gears and talk about the Atlantic Division. There were three teams coming into this season that we were really curious to see how they would do. Only one of them has exceeded expectations. I'm talking about the Ottawa Senators, Buffalo Sabres, and Detroit Red Wings.
Yeah, of these three teams, I was really, really high on the Ottawa Senators, and they've been extremely disappointing so far.
I wonder if DJ Smith is on the hot seat. It sounds like it.
Oh, yeah, they've been chanting for him to be fired in the stands, so it definitely sounds like it.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird team because you look at their offensive stars, and people are performing pretty well. I mean, Tim Stützle has been really good. Tarasenko has been quite good. Giroux's been good. These are the players they need to score. But I think as a team defensive system, they have not performed very well.
Yeah, now is it just that the goaltenders are not making the saves, or is it more so that they're giving up too many high danger chances? I guess that's the question. It probably hurts, too, that they haven't had Thomas Chabot in the lineup for most of the season.
That's right. And they brought in Korpisalo. He was their big free agent signing. I was really excited about that signing, but I would maybe even say Forsberg's been a little bit better, which isn't saying much.
Yeah, both goalies are under that 9 save percentage, which, you know, is sort of the indication of bad goaltending.
Allow me to present the glass half full argument, though. The Ottawa Senators have played the fewest games so far, which means they have plenty of time to get things back on track. And Jacques Martin back in the fold as an advisor. Maybe he can bring back some of that old 1990s Senators magic.
Yes, hopefully he can. But I think even more disappointing than the Ottawa Senators, the Buffalo Sabres. I mean, they have been pretty shockingly bad. A lot of people were excited about this team. Very young. Tage Thompson had a breakout season last year. And really, they came out flat.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that they might be able to break that playoff drought, but I don't think it's going to happen this year. We'll see.
And drought is the word. It's been an offensive drought. With all of that firepower we mentioned, their leading scorer right now, Casey Mittelstadt, with 22 points in 26 games. That is not what anybody was expecting in Buffalo.
Yeah, him and JJ Paterka are probably one of the few bright spots on this team. But what's gone wrong?
Well, I just think everything has gone wrong, really. Let's start with the goaltending. I mean, they went with Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen and Devon Levi. And everyone said Devon Levi was the anointed one. He was going to be a great goaltender for this team. I just was a little skeptical, but he has been sent down to the AHL. So it has not worked out for him. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen has been okay, but, you know, that's
what about the third head of the goaltending monster, Eric Comrie?
Eric Comrie, yeah. I mean, as a Jets fan, I didn't expect much out of him. So, I mean, that's been pretty bad for Buffalo so far this year.
Again, though, I didn't expect them to get world-class goaltending. It's the fact that they're not scoring. Their power play is one of the worst in the league after being one of the best in the league last season, and it's the same personnel.
But you take Tage Thompson out of that lineup, that's tough.
He is back now, so hopefully he can stay healthy. But they've got a few other guys dinged up, Alex Tuch and Rasmus Dahlin, also nursing injuries. So I don't see how they get back into this, guys.
Yeah, a lot of guys underperforming on this team.
Yeah, it's sad, sad times in Buffalo again.
After taking a big steaming dump on the Iser plan in our first show, I think it's time for us to apologize to Stevie Y and the Detroit Red Wings because they're looking like they could be a playoff team.
Sorry, Stevie. Yes, man. Motor City. They're looking pretty good, man. They've had a really nice first quarter led by Dylan Larkin. The captain is bringing it this year.
Yeah, the question on him has always been, can he be a number one centerman? Very good number two, but is he a number one? And so far this season, he has definitely been playing like a number one centerman, leading them at both ends of the ice. One of the great skaters in the league as well.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, they picked up Alex DeBrincat in the offseason. He came out of the gates on absolute fire. He's cooled off a little bit, but he's still at a point per game. So I think he's provided everything that they wanted from him offensively, for sure.
Absolutely. I was really interested to see what Lucas Raymond would do. He had a bit of the sophomore slump last year. He's been pretty good.
Yeah, and help is on the way. Alex DeBrincat's old running mate Patrick Kane has been signed, and he's looking like he's going to make his debut as soon as this week. So I wonder what he's got left after he's had that, you know, the hip replacement surgery. Doesn't always go well for players, but I think Patrick Kane's got enough talent to make it work.
And what about in net, John, for the Red Wings? We were really concerned about that going into the year.
Yeah, well, Ville Husso, I mean, he's got a decent winning record, but I mean, his underlying stats are not that good, his save percentage and GAA. On the flip side of that, Alex Lyon has had a limited playing time, but he's played pretty well, and he was excellent for Florida down the stretch last year. So, I mean, if he can step up and take some big starts and lighten the load for Husso, you know, they could stay competitive in that.
And, Mark, you love taking shots at James Reimer. I have to call you on this one. He's been all right.
Yeah, no, he's had a good start so far. Still no belief in him, and I think that eventually he'll come back down to earth. But maybe they can flip him for a pick while there's all these goalie-starved teams out there.
Yeah, and defensively, I mean, Moritz Seider, he's kind of their star back there. After a slightly disappointing sophomore season, he seems to be back to himself. He's challenging 60 points this year. So I think they can rely on him to be great going forward.
And what a value they got bringing in Shane Gostisbehere. Here's a guy that we thought maybe was done as a regular NHLer, and he has been amazing revitalizing that power play. And I think he's hovering around like 20 points right now.
Yeah, it's been a little weird over the last few seasons with Detroit not being very good. So this is a nice change.
It is. And I do think the NHL is better when Detroit is competitive.
Yeah, it would be cool to see them back in the playoffs, but they've got a long road ahead of them still. So they're going to have to keep this up.
Another pleasant surprise, Johnny, you got to be pumped about your Winnipeg Jets.
Yes, pleasantly surprised. So many questions were hanging over this team in the offseason. And I feel like the Jets have really answered. You know, they signed Hellebuck and Scheifele, and then they came out and they started playing really solid defensive hockey, very structured system, and they're winning games.
Yeah, the guys that should be performing are performing for them. Kyle Connor is back in his top form. And I really like the progression I've seen from Cole Perfetti so far this year.
Yeah, for sure. He has been excellent. Mark Scheifele as well. I think off the new contract, he's really playing like a leader. And of course, Connor Hellebuck. You know, I think he started the season, he really wasn't up to snuff, but recently he's been very, very good. And Jeff, how about Josh Morrissey back there?
He's playing, excellent. Yeah. Big Josh Morrissey fan. Great two-way defenseman.
For sure. So pleasantly surprised with this team. I think if they can keep this up, they'll be in the playoffs. However, I would like to add one caveat. This happened last year. They were playing the exact same type of Rick Bonus hockey at this point in the season, and then they proceeded to have one of the worst collapses in the history of the league. So, you know, I got my fingers crossed that doesn't happen again this year.
Yeah, I wonder if memories of that collapse are still lingering, if it will affect them later on in the season.
Sure,
games get a little bit tougher.
I sure hope not. Yeah.
And how about the former Winnipeg Jets, the Arizona Coyotes, guys.
Ooh, those desert dogs are
hot. Huge surprise. What do you think?
I did not see this coming at all. And if you look at their team on paper, the depth is not bad, but nothing really stands out. I mean, Clayton Keller is an exciting young offensive talent, but I feel like they're kind of doing it with smoke and mirrors right now. What do you think the key to their success is, Jeff?
Well, I would have to say it's Connor Ingram. What a first quarter. The guy's at 2.23 GAA and a 930 save percentage. He's 11-3. Amazing. He's come out and he's stolen that number one job.
Yeah, that is a surprise because I really like Vemelka. I thought that he was an underrated goalie, but Ingram coming out of nowhere. Can they keep this going?
I don't know. I mean, this is a team that's playing with a lot of mojo right now. Perhaps we could ascribe it to their coach, Andre Tourigny. He's got these guys playing really good hockey, competitive hockey, exciting hockey. So, I mean, things are looking bright for them.
How about this footnote in history? They just won 5 games in a row against the last 5 NHL franchises to have won the Stanley Cup.
It's fun.
That's nuts.
You know, all the Coyotes fans, they've been starving for this, and just enjoy it.
Okay, well, we still have a little bit more to talk about here in the Central Division. The Minnesota Wild, they were a playoff team last year. They did not look like a playoff team out of the gate this year.
Yeah, John, I know you were asking in our preseason show about, is this team better? And they started off horribly.
Yeah, they could not get a save at the start of the year. Gustafson was especially bad. And, you know, missing your number one defenseman, Jared Spurgeon, missed the start of the year. That was a big blow to them as well. He's back healthy now, and surprise, surprise, the team is starting to turn it around a bit.
But not before it cost Dean Evason his job.
Yes, I mean, they had lost 6 in a row. Dean Evason is out. John Hines is in. And since then, they've won 4 in a row, so maybe they've started to turn a corner.
I felt like Kaprizov wasn't healthy. I don't know. He's playing better recently.
Yeah, you know, there's not a lot of firepower in that lineup, though. Although, the one guy that I think is starting to show some signs finally after being drafted so high is Marco Rossi. Watch out for him. If he can start giving them secondary offense, then they might be able to get back in the playoff race.
The rookie is looking good. And Boldy, he was also a really slow starter.
Yeah, Matthew Boldy had a pretty good first few games. Then he got hurt. He was a little bit slow to get back on track, but looks like he's returning to form, and that's going to be huge for them.
Yeah, I think with the change of the coach, they've solved some of their team defense problems, or at least hopefully. Their penalty kill had been absolutely atrocious. Yeah, I think it was 60% or something like that. So, I mean, if they can right that ship, they might be able to sneak back into the playoffs here.
Yeah, it's still pretty wide open in the Central.
So I think that about does it for the surprises.
Actually, I think we have to mention the Philadelphia Flyers. We were really low on them in our preseason show. And as of recording, they're in a playoff spot.
Yeah, I mean, there are some things we could say about this team. Perhaps it's best left to John Tortorella to sum up their season so far.
No, we win the game because we got balls. Yeah. We do. We do stupid stuff. We don't make some plays sometimes. Lose sight of certain momentums in the games, a number of things we have to work on and try to get consistent at. But one thing we do have is balls.
Gotta love John Tortorella. He does have these guys playing hard.
And it is great to see Sean Couturier back and healthy after all the time he's missed. He's the heart and soul of that team, and I think he's a big reason why they are in that spot.
For sure. I mean, he's the kind of guy that Torts would love.
All right. Well, I think that about does it. Let's take a little break. Hit a tune.
That was sickening last week, by the way.
What? What is going on with you here?
No, it's not. What is this stuff on here? We're Hockey Night in Canada, and we're talking about saving the world and all that stuff. Let's talk hockey.
Well, that's the whole idea behind December the 25th.
Let's talk about some good guys.
Okay.
Let's talk about the troops.
That was Propagandy with Dear Coach's Corner from the 2009 album Supporting Cast. John, big Winnipeg band there?
That's right. Big fan of Propagandy growing up. They're originally from Portage la Prairie, actually, but played in Winnipeg quite a lot. I saw them several times in junior high and high school. Always an entertaining show.
Yeah, I know. You guys are both big punk fans, yeah?
Oh, yeah. A lot of my youth was spent going to punk shows. Somehow I didn't catch Propagandy, though. It's so weird. They're a Western Canadian punk band, but I never saw them.
Who are you really into?
Oh God, I saw a lot over the years. Probably my best show, though, my first big one was Bad Religion.
Okay.
Yeah, and the local band Choke from Edmonton opened up for them, so that was a really cool show.
Yeah,
and SNFU also, actually, Chai Pig, the legend.
Sure. He passed away recently,
I know,
Chai Pig.
Yeah,
that was sad, yeah.
Any favorites for you, John?
Well, besides Propaganda, you know, I was a big NoFX, Lagwagon, all the Fat Records bands. Yeah,
yeah,
I was a big fan of those for a couple years, yeah.
Yeah, I can't compete with you
Mill
guys.
And Colin, Face to Face, so many great names over the years.
I love The Clash.
Sure.
Yeah,
a little earlier, but yeah,
well,
good
Jeff
stuff.
Is a little bit older, so.
That's true. A lot older, maybe.
That's true.
Yeah.
So what's up next?
Well, as the elder statesman, we often come to you for advice. Let us once again scale the mountain of wisdom and crack open the mailbag.
That's right. I mean, this is a segment we call Ask the Commish. Jeff Rolleman, our listeners may or may not know, in addition to being a very successful podcast host, is the commissioner of a fantasy hockey league. And there's a lot of responsibility involved with that position. So yeah, we call this segment Ask the Commish.
Sorry. What was the question? I would totally veto that. What kind of league are we running here anyways? I'll have to consult the rule book on that one. Remember the trade guidelines. Can we get some friendly questions here? You guys have got to dress your players.
Okay, so here it is. This is everybody's favorite segment. This is Ask the Commish. You can get your last-minute questions in. Remember to email us at rodlangwayfanclub@gmail.com or send us a tweet at rodlangwayfanclub. Mark, is that... That's the new mailbag.
The new mailbag. Whoa. Well, you know, we've got a little bit of extra money these days, so I thought we'd throw a couple bucks into the mailbag since it is such a key component of the show.
Yeah, wow, feel that. Is that velvet? What is that?
Yeah, yeah, that nice dark green velvet. It's beautiful. Yeah.
Might get some bed sheets made out of that.
So what do you guys got up first here?
Well, digging in the bag here, it looks like we have an actual letter. I mean, look at this.
Ooh, look at those stamps, too.
Beautiful. This is from John Riley. And John Riley just writes, "You guys often talk about surprising teams. I'm wondering what you guys think about some of the surprising players from the first quarter of the NHL season."
Thank you so much
surprising
for that.
Players.
We have to talk about Alexander Ovechkin, guys.
Yeah,
he has had a really rough first quarter.
Yeah, he's only got, I think, 5 goals so far, which puts him on pace for something like 19 on the season. And two of those have been empty netters.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, he's really scored 3 goals or so this season. That is pretty rough. This is a guy who's chasing Gretzky's record. And I think some people are starting to wonder if he can actually pull this off.
Yeah, I haven't watched a lot of Capitals hockey this year. But when I have, I've noticed that he looks even slower than normal. He's really laboring out there. I remember watching an overtime game and he was on for like 30 seconds. He was just gassed and he just had to like barely get to the bench to make the line change. So I don't know. I mean, he wants to break the record, but it doesn't look like it's a guarantee anymore.
I would agree with that. Not a guarantee. I think he can still do it. But let's remember, I mean, he could get hurt or he could just completely fall off a cliff and become kind of an irrelevant player. That happens when players approach their 40s.
He could also still pick it up. I wouldn't count him out just yet.
Oh, no. Don't count out the grade 8. I just think that it's been a little bit surprising for him to have such a steep fall from one season to the next.
How about on the plus side? Who's been good out there?
Well, I think we have to talk about Sam Reinhart for the Florida
good
Panthers.
Call.
I mean, he has been scoring goals at an outrageous pace, challenging for the league lead. He's been excellent so far. That's a big surprise.
Yeah, I've always liked him, but I never saw him as being like a top line player, but I mean, he's one of the best players in the league right now, statistically speaking, anyway. I'm not sure he'll be able to keep it up, but great surprise for the Florida Panthers.
And how about leading the league, Nikita Kucherov? Wow, has this guy been on fire to start the year?
Hard to say it's surprising. We've seen him play so much great hockey over the years. But yeah, I wasn't pegging him to win another Art Ross trophy. He's got a long way to go. Connor McDavid is waking up and will be nipping at his heels soon enough. But still, he looks like the Nikita Kucherov of old, the Stanley Cup champion.
Yeah, I mean, he is such an exciting player to watch. And I mean, maybe not a surprise, but certainly I think he doesn't get the appreciation he deserves. I mean, I think he's one of the top 5 players in the world.
And what about Jonathan Huberdeau? I kept thinking this guy might be poised to have a big bounce back season. We still haven't seen it yet.
No.
Yeah, we were all blaming Sutter and it was all the coach's fault and a new coach was going to be a new day for Jonathan Huberdeau, but he still hasn't really figured it out. He's been benched for stretches. When he is on the ice, he's not driving the play. I don't know. Maybe he just isn't a good fit in Calgary.
Yeah, I mean, something's got to give for this guy to get back on pace for what he should be on pace for.
And what about Johnny Gaudreau?
Same deal. I mean, this guy had a really disappointing year last year, even worse so far this year.
Patrick Laine, could he turn it around?
Well, I want to touch upon Gaudreau just if I can for a second. And I've never really believed in this guy. His talent is all world, but the compete level's never really been there consistently. And he's got this big contract, and I think he's just kind of coasting right now. He's on a pretty bad hockey team, and he's just not making the effort necessary to score goals in a very, very difficult league.
And John, Patrick Laine?
Oh, I don't know about Patrick Laine. I thought it was very questionable for them to put him at center. I think you mentioned that playing center is very hard. And I don't know if Patrick Laine is the guy who really likes hard assignments. And another guy, you really got to compete. You really got to give your soul to this game. And he seems to be a guy who thinks he can coast on talent, and you can't do that in this league.
Yeah, he's a great hockey player. I don't know if he loves the game like some of these guys, though. You don't see that fire in him all the time. Maybe it's just a personality thing, but I don't know.
Sidney Crosby, he's showing he's still got it.
For sure. I mean, this is a guy who stays in excellent shape, plays a lot in the offseason. He's a total rink rat. And so I wouldn't be surprised if he can maintain this level of play late in his career.
Well, that's the thing, right? The perfect contrast to guys like Gaudreau and Laine. Here's a man who loves hockey, who gives everything he has to the game. And you combine that with all-world talent, and hey, he's still one of the best.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff, anybody you want to talk about?
Well, I got to give a quick little shout out to my boy, William Nylander, Toronto Maple Leafs, man. He set a new Leaf record for most points to begin the season. He's been awesome.
How much longer will he be a Leaf, though? Has he priced himself out of town with this career year?
Oh, I don't even want to think about that yet.
Yeah, just enjoy it while it's here.
He'd look good in a Habs sweater.
Yeah.
What do we have next?
Well, on a more serious note, we got a message on Twitter from Daniel. He's from Leeds. He asks, will the tragic passing of Adam Johnson lead to better safety protocols in hockey?
Oh, guys, wasn't this a heart-wrenching story?
Oh, it was absolutely horrendous. Absolutely horrendous. What a horrible incident.
I can't imagine. I mean, the guy's going to play hockey and doesn't make it out. I just can't believe it.
Yeah, for those of you who might not be sure about what happened, there was a hockey player in England who had his throat cut by a skate inadvertently. And unfortunately, he passed away on the ice. Tragic tale. Reminds me of one of the first memories I have of watching hockey as a kid. Goaltender Clint Malarchuk had a similar thing happen to him. Thankfully, with a different ending to that tale, as he was miraculously saved. But that was a gruesome image that I still remember today.
Yeah, that one was burnt into my brain. I'll never forget it. An army doctor, actually, who had served in Vietnam, reached in and was able to pinch the vein to save his life. Unfortunately, Adam Johnson, not so lucky. Absolutely tragic. I don't know. It's tough to say. Is there anything that...
Well, it does sound like the WIHF, they're going to bring in neck guards, right, for I think it's the younger players. A bunch of NHL players have decided to wear a neck guard now.
Yeah, I know that Jaden Struble, a player who just made his NHL debut for Montreal, he was wearing a neck guard, and hopefully this is the younger generation starts doing this. Always a little bit harder. Some of the older players have been around for a while, but hopefully, much like visors, helmets, these things will eventually just become requirements.
Yeah,
I sure hope so.
It saves lives, you know?
Yeah, I mean, anything we can do to make the game safer to avoid something like this, I think everybody should be willing to get behind without question.
All right, guys, let's maybe switch it up a little bit. What do we have next?
We have a tweet here from Timothy. Timothy just asks, what do you guys think about the proposed 4-team international tournament that the NHL is floating?
Thank you so much for the question, Timothy. Guys, I have to be honest, I despise it.
Yeah, garbage.
4 teams?
Yeah.
I mean, don't even bother.
Yeah, so the idea is to have Finland and Sweden play against each other in Europe. Canada plays the United States and North America, and then the winners of those matches then would face each other in a final. It just seems so artificial and exclusionary. I mean, think about all of the great hockey players we've got from other countries. I mean, you can understand why Russia's still out with everything that's going on, but still, it just doesn't feel like a proper international tournament without them. The Germans and the Swiss and the Czechs and the Slovaks. I mean, there's so many great hockey players from these nations that would be left out.
Yeah, and I mean, they should be building the game internationally, not shrinking it down to the core group. I mean, it's absolutely absurd. The NHL never ceases to amaze me with how much it fails on the international scene.
I know, especially they've sat out the last 2 Olympics.
Yeah, the Rod Langway Fan Club podcast has been going for 8 years now, and we have yet to be able to cover any best-on-best international tournament. It's absurd.
Yeah, you know, as long as we have these kinds of decisions being made, hockey's not going to grow at the rate that it should be growing. It's a great game, but the captains of the ship are lost at sea.
Such a shame, because I feel like the talent level has never been better. Here we are at the first quarter mark, and look at the skill. Like, it really is a golden age of skill.
For sure, for sure. I've never seen so many talented players, and it would be great to see them on the world stage, and everybody would enjoy it. What a shame.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll have to wait for the Olympics for a true international tournament, although I will admit I still am excited to see Crosby, McDavid, Bedard all on one team together.
Yeah, they better go to Italy.
Yeah, I don't know. Bettman's always dragging his heels on these things. I wouldn't be surprised if they found a way to not go.
All right. John, what do you have next?
Well, we got one here about Shane Pinto and the gambling thing. You know, he was suspended. You guys want to get in?
That's interesting.
No, we don't need to get into the gambling stuff.
What do you mean?
You don't want to do gambling, Mark.
Well, you know, I'm a man who is not afraid to lay a bet every now and then. But let's not get into that right now. We've got so many other interesting things to talk about. Maybe later.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I mean, Mark, do you got anything else you want to talk about?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you take a look at the list of questions we have here, like we've got
Jeff. No phones.
Yeah,
Jeff, what's going on? Come on.
Sorry, I broke the rule. Just, guys, I got a table.
Is that a new phone?
It is.
Whoa. Is that one of those flip ones? Like the screen? Oh, my goodness.
Come on, man. I get a new phone. We won all this money.
Okay.
Sorry, guys. I broke the rule. I apologize.
What's the big rush, though?
Well, we got a table at the club, man.
Whoa. Club.
We got some champagne. It's going to be awesome.
Mega expensive.
Yeah.
Well, you know, guys.
Okay.
Well, let's not be a little.
Well, let's just
show his money too, right?
Like, I know. Let's just keep it moving here. Okay. What do we got next?
Okay. Well, I've got a few messages asking about the Corey Perry fiasco, the situation.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people are asking about this one.
What's going on?
Nobody
really knows what's going on. Yeah. But what do you got? What's your guys' take on this?
Well, he released his statement. Sounds like he's been dealing with some alcohol problems, maybe more. Shocking. I mean, the story went on and nobody knew what was going on.
Yeah. I mean, for them to just completely waive him, he's off the team. This is a guy who they brought in to really be sort of a father figure for Connor Bedard. And suddenly he's gone.
Yeah, terminated his contract.
Shocking stuff.
Yeah, you got to think the bar is pretty high for this to happen. So whatever did happen is got to be pretty serious, because you got to figure the NHLPA would not stand for this. There'd be a grievance filed. I mean,
I think there will be.
You think there will be?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I don't think we've heard the last of it yet. It's shocking, though.
Yeah, I mean, the Blackhawks are also an organization that is being very cautious with the way it handles these types of issues.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we just don't know enough to really comment too much on it. But, you know, it's just a shame. It really is. I mean, I was really looking forward to seeing Corey Perry.
Yeah, the whole rumors that went that around it.
This is a Hall of Fame guy who might end his career in disgrace.
Yeah, I mean, it could potentially, I mean, if it's as bad as it might actually be, cost him his spot in the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Well,
yeah, it is such a shame. And you look at another veteran guy, Milan Lucic, who the Boston Bruins brought in there, and it looks like his career might end under a cloud.
Situation there. I mean, he was a guy who always played on the edge.
For sure.
And, well, unfortunately, that carried over into his personal life, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Again, I don't want to speculate too much, but that's probably the end of his career.
Yeah, I mean, I do wonder with some of these players who have played a rough and tumble game throughout their careers, it seems like maybe later in their careers they don't handle their liquor so well. And I don't know if, you know, these guys should maybe be a little more careful with
their
drinking and all.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but I sure hope that these guys get the help that they need.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's something maybe that the NHL needs to improve upon is the player assistance program and maybe nipping these situations in the bud and being aware of what's going on with these guys. Although it's difficult, you know.
I know Scott Darling had some horrible things to say about the player assistance program.
Right,
which is hard to hear, too.
Yeah, we do have to remember that these players are not commodities. They're actually human beings, and they take a lot of damage, and they go through a lot of stress. And so, you know, there needs to be a support network for them.
Do we have one more?
Well, guys, like, this is... I'm kind of running late for something.
Where are you going?
Friends.
What do you mean?
What do you got on the go?
Just meeting a few friends for playing some games and
playing
stuff.
Playing some
you know?
Games?
Yeah, yeah.
Hitting the racetrack.
No. Nothing crazy. Just a few friends, you know, playing some games.
Some games, okay. Yeah. Well, let's do one more. You got time for one more?
Sure.
One more.
Okay, we got one here from a guy whose Twitter handle is Bunny the Rock.
Okay.
He asks, have you guys noticed what's going on with the goalies this year? We've got four teams carrying three goalies, And then we've got a couple of other teams that don't even really have one NHL goalie.
Yes, I have noticed that, Buffalo being one of them.
Yeah, so it's actually the weird thing, it's four teams in the same division. Right. So we've got Buffalo, Montreal, Detroit, Florida, all carrying three goalies on the roster.
Right.
Now, of course, they all actually, every team has two goalies. I think what he's talking about is how there are teams like New Jersey, Carolina, at one point Edmonton, who didn't seem to have even one reliable NHL goaltender.
And I mean, Tampa Bay as well at the start of the season when Vasilevsky was hurt.
Yeah, they were in a tough spot as well. So goalie hoarding, it's kind of like the new thing this year.
Well, something's got to give.
We've got to see some trades at some point, you would think, right?
Well, it's tough, though. I mean, if you have three goalies that can play, I mean, these are valuable assets. Why would you part ways with them unless you really thought you were getting a very fair return?
Yeah, it's funny, too. If you look at the history of trades with goaltenders, they always seem to command a lower price than, say, a defenseman or a forward would. So I think maybe some of these GMs are hoping to change that and maybe catch a team who's in a desperate spot and make them overpay. But so far, no one's bitten.
Yeah, goaltending is voodoo. A lot of goalies have had a rough first quarter.
Yes, for sure. I mean, save percentages are generally down. Scoring, of course, is up in the league. So it's always an interesting dynamic to see how this plays out.
Sorry, guys.
Jeff, seriously, man. Seriously. Wow. You haven't figured out that device yet, eh? Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys. I do have to go.
Okay. I think we can wrap it
honestly,
up.
Honestly, I also have to get going.
Yeah. Fine. Here, okay.
So. You don't have anything going on, John?
Oh, no. I mean, I'm just going to... I've been really focusing on myself right now, looking at the oneness of me.
I noticed you've got all these yoga mats all over the studio.
Yeah, I might do some guided meditation. Just focus on my breathing a lot. I've been really focusing on that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you sure?
Yeah, it's great.
It's a good way to stay alive, I guess.
For sure. Yeah, it's great. One thing I've noticed is that since we've gotten rich, money just really doesn't mean that much to me anymore.
Is that right?
Yeah. What a nice problem to have, hey?
Hey.
Well, or no problem, I guess.
Okay. So anyways, I'm just going to hang out. Yeah.
Okay, cool, man. Well, listen, fans, we will see you guys at the halfway mark.
We will be giving away the coveted Rod Langway mid-season mustache awards, so stay tuned for that.
It's
always a great segment.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you had yourselves the time.
Well, I hope you had yourselves the time. Hope you had yourselves the time. Hope you had time. Hope you had yourselves the time.